So you got to wonder where we are now. I mean, we are, even with HARP, Dr. Page, let's think about this. HARP is going to take a lot of money.
Yep.
It is taking a lot of money. And so now they're at sort of a medium stage in terms of the power and the antennas,
right.
But they're still going forward. Now,
right.
if nothing was happening in a encouraging way, if nothing, for example, had happened by now with HARP to encourage them to know that they're being successful in whatever the hell they're trying to do,
yeah.
They would have stopped the money, but they're going forward.
Well, in fact, DARPA's got it now. It's not even the Air Force and Navy.
Oh, DARPA has it now. When did that happen?
That was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. DARPA took it over, and it was at the same time that Raytheon sold the underlying company, which owned the patents to the technology.
That alone is astounding. DARPA has taken over the HARP project. How totally?
They run it. It's their deal.
And, it's their deal.
And the thing about that is, it's interesting, to be on that subject, is the guy that runs DARPA is a guy named Tony Tether.
And Tony Tether?
Yeah, he's a director of DARPA, and he was the first person after the Assistant Secretary of Defense that Bernard Eastland presented his concepts on HARP to in the very
beginning. Remind everybody of what DARPA stands for.
It's a defense agency research. I forget exactly, but it's a research group for the DOD, the Department of Defense, and they do essentially the black projects, the highly classified
black projects.
Once projects go to a certain extent,
exactly. So, Doctor, then what are we to infer or imagine when DARPA took this over? I mean, what does that probably mean?
Well, several things. They did a few things that we know they were able to accomplish. The Earth penetrating tomography application, the idea of looking into the Earth or X-raying the Earth by analogy.
Now, folks, this is where they bounce the signal off the ionosphere so damn strong that it comes down and examines the inner Earth somehow. That's an amazing thing by itself.
Yeah, and it's not a lot of energy. It's just a frequency. It's an extremely low frequency signal, penetrates easily, but they can measure it and get really good profile of what's going on for several kilometers deep. The other thing that, this application of missile defense is where we always have said this is eventually going. I still believe that with HARP. When you think about being able to, this has some applications for the over-the-horizon radar, being able to look around the curvature of the Earth by creating what are called ionospheric mirrors. And without getting into all of that, but just the idea of being able to do that, but then increasing the energy sufficiently to create what's called an EMP or an electromagnetic pulse or surge of energy to knock out the electronics on those incoming objects. And, I don't know, they followed this missile defense nonsense. They're building these interceptors up here and putting them in the ground in Alaska. And I'm laughing because it's, another couple $1 billion down the drain because it's a very impractical solution when, in fact, the real solutions are going to be energy-based weapons that literally travel at the speed of light, not some horse-drawn buggy of a missile interceptor. I mean, that's just not the way it's going to work in the long run. And I think the literature supports that. And when you look at HARP was this idea of taking and looking at how you could manipulate energy for lots of different uses. And
Doctor, how likely is it that HARP is what's screwing up the ionosphere so badly right now?
I think it can be a contributing factor, and I think it probably is one of those contributing factors.